Columbus, W224EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden urging GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson to take up the vote on the Senate-passed bipartisan aid package for Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, and Taiwan. That bill does not include funding for U.S. border funding, something Johnson says must be tied to a foreign aid package. President Biden says support is urgent.
This is a critical act for the House to move. It needs to move. The bill provides urgent funding for Ukraine so it can keep defending itself against Putin's vicious onslaught.
The president says the aid for Ukraine will also help U.S. businesses that build weapons. The White House says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin remains hospitalized after an emergent bladder issue sent him to Walter Reed Medical Facility Sunday. It is the latest medical issue following Austin's complications from prostate surgery. And a major fast-moving storm leaving its mark in the Northeast. Nearly 1,200 flights have been canceled due to heavy snow, and crews are working to restore power. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers are scrambling to pass several bills before wrapping up work for the session. The Assembly and Senate are both holding floor sessions today with long agendas. Lawmakers are voting on a $2 billion Republican tax cut similar to two proposals Governor Evers vetoed last year. Local election officials in Wisconsin are preparing for safe and secure voting this year, but some say the state could do more to meet the growing demand for absentee and early voting.
The funding that we receive from the state and from the federal government hasn't increased to accommodate any of that.
Meredith Witzel-Bale is the city clerk in Madison. Advocates say it would take $53 billion to modernize the election system across the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WMTX News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Brent Plish has been named UW-Madison's interim chief of police. He's replacing former chief Kristen Roman, who resigned on Monday. The State Journal reports that she was under investigation by university officials for allegations of workplace misconduct. They were not investigating any criminal charges, and Roman resigned before the investigation could be completed. Plish has been with UW-Madison Police since 2005 and will serve as chief until university officials can name a permanent new police chief. A former student at Memorial High School in Madison has been diagnosed with active tuberculosis. The school district sent an email to families with kids in the school Monday. The student graduated last spring, and it is not known if they had tuberculosis at that time. District officials and the City County Health Department have identified students and staff who may have been exposed and let them know about their next steps. And that's what you need to know. I'm Nate Wiggehout, WMDX News.
At my company, we're always looking for people who are passionate and ready to work, but it's not always easy. It's time to broaden our horizons. In Wisconsin, about 600,000 people with disabilities are ready and able to work. People that just need you to believe in them and say yes.
And once you say yes, ThinkAbility Wisconsin will be there, providing transition and workforce support to help shape a better future for all. It all starts when you say yes. Join the movement at thinkabilitywi.org.
Marquette looks to make it 8 in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles, are on the road against Butler. The team learned now that they're moved up in the rankings to 5th in the nation. The Badgers, now ranked 20th, hope to snap a 4-game losing streak when they host the Ohio State Buckeyes. NBA, the Bucks got another win, this time over the Denver Nuggets, 112-95, Giannis with 35 points. NFL, Super Bowl 58, the most watched event on television ever, 123.4 million viewers as the Chiefs beat the 49ers in overtime. I talked to former Badgers and Wisconsin native linebacker Leo Chanel, who forced a Christian McCaffrey fumble in the opening drive and blocked a PAT. Leo talked about Travis Kelce's speech to the team the night before the game.
You know, to see how emotional Travis was, like, you could see in his eyes, like, he wants it, man. Like, you can't say it anymore how much you want it with what he was giving us and how much emotion he was showing. It was awesome.
That's Chiefs linebacker Leo Chanel with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun today and high temperatures a touch cooler, climbing to the upper 30s. We'll stay stuck under mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, but you'll love the warmth for Valentine's Day as highs climb to near 50. If you have late night plans, though, keep in mind that a wintry mix pushes in at night. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board and taking your phone calls as well. Welcome into hour number three of the Todd Albaugh Show. It is six now past the hour of 2 o'clock on Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. It is Fat Tuesday. As we celebrate here, have some beads on if you're watching on the stream, either Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Mr. Zommers has his beads on as well. If you want to stop by our studio, if you're downtown, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, we'll give you some beads. Otherwise, we'll send some metaphorical beads your way. Glad to be with you for hour three of the show, at least for the next couple of weeks or so, until some new programming fills this slot. More on that soon. Mr. Zommers, happy Fat Tuesday to you.
Happy Fat Tuesday to you as well. And thanks for the beads.
Yes,
I notably, if you're watching the stream, I had our cameras off when I received my beads from Todd, so you'll never know how I got them.
People kept their clothes on. Just be aware of that. Breaking news today. Want to update you on this. According to WisPolitics, the Senate today, Wisconsin State Senate, voted to approve Democratic Governor Tony Evers' legislative maps as Republicans hope to head off the liberal majority on the state Supreme Court, drawing lines they fear would be even worse for the Republican majorities in both houses. Democrats, meanwhile, slammed Republicans for what they called a suspicious process in which Majority Leader Devin Lemieux, Republican of Utsburg, brought up the maps as an amendment to a bill that sought to impose an Iowa-style redistricting system in Wisconsin. They also knocked the provision in the amendment that would not apply the proposed maps to any special or recall elections ahead of November. Democrats called it a purposeful trick to open the door to a legal challenge, with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican of Rochester, being targeted for a recall this spring and a special election on tap for a vacant state Senate seat. Well, more on that later, but again, so far, the Republican-controlled state Senate has passed Democratic Governor Tony Evers' maps. We'll qualify it to say we have not seen the actual final bill that was passed. And I think that's key here, because Governor Evers has said if the Republicans in the legislature pass my plan unamended, we call that in politics a clean bill. In Congress, you'd call it does not have a rider on it or an amendment on it. In other words, there's nothing different from the way it was originally proposed. That's the key here. If Republicans did some small thing to change this, that Evers isn't going to sign it because Republicans didn't hold up their end of the bargain. Not that there was particularly a bargain, But the Republicans said, hey, we're going to take up Governor Evers' maps. And the governor said, if they pass my maps cleanly, I'll sign it. Don't forget, that was the caveat. There can't be an amendment to this. But we shall see. The Senate this afternoon approved the maps on an 18-14 vote with 9 Democrats and 5 Republicans voting no. State Senator Bob Wirch, Democrat of Summers, joined other Republicans in supporting the bill. So you can say it was a bipartisan vote. Republicans who voted no were Joan Baldwin, Julian Bradley, Andre Jacques, Chris Kapinga, and Eric Wimberger. Those are the folks who voted against it. The rest of the Republicans voted for the bill, joining Democrat Bob Wirch. So we shall see more of this later, but that is the breaking news of the afternoon. I want to turn to what's happening yesterday and continues to be of interest in the court system. This a great article here from The Hill, thehill.com, a D.C.-based publication. Headline, Trump urges Supreme Court to delay January 6th case amid immunity appeal. Great reporting here. Former President Trump yesterday urged the Supreme Court to keep his federal election subversion criminal trial on hold as he appeals a ruling that he doesn't have immunity from the charges. Again, Trump trying to say that he's immune from prosecution because he was president of the United States at the time. And now he's appealing this ruling that said, no, not so much, Donald. You're like everybody else. So while he appeals that ruling, he's trying to get the Supreme Court to delay his criminal trial. Trump's appeal sets up a potentially landmark case at the high court over the bounds of presidential immunity. And it also places the justices in a position to dictate when Trump can head to trial. This is going to be an enormous decision here. And the Supreme Court, whether they like it or not, is going to be thrust into presidential politics, as if they aren't already. The former president has long looked to delay his criminal cases, and he has found initial success in postponing his Washington, D.C. trial date, originally scheduled for March 4th, by first appealing his immunity claims. This is standard Trump 101 in the court system. He delays and delays and delays and delays, hoping, of course, in his proceedings in New York and his business dealings, that the other side just gets worn down and accepts, you know, an agreement out of court, a settlement. But this is different. These are criminal trials, some of them. And Trump is basically, his goal is to push this off until after the November 4th election. Back to The Hill, back to the story in The Hill. Now, as the historic dispute reaches the Supreme Court, the justices' decision is poised to have an outsized influence on whether Trump can push the trial beyond the presidential election. Such a feat would enable Trump to potentially first return to the White House and subsequently pardon himself or direct his Justice Department to drop the prosecution. This is the, here's the rub, as they say. This is why he's trying to delay it. He says, if I can delay it until after the election, all right, I got a 50-50 shot, or so he believes, at winning this thing. And if I can win it, even if it goes to trial, even if I'm found guilty, I can pardon myself, or heck, before I do that, I'll just tell whoever, whatever stooge I appoint as U.S. Attorney General to drop the charges against me. That's what all this is about. Back to the story in The Hill. One of 4 criminal cases Trump faces, special counsel Jack Smith charged the former president with 4 federal felonies that accuse him of conspiring to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Trump pleaded not guilty. Quote, conducting a months-long criminal trial of President Trump at the height of election season will radically disrupt President Trump's ability to campaign against President Biden, which appears to be the whole point of the special counsel's persistent demands for expedition. Unquote. That's what Trump's lawyers are writing. They're claiming, you know, look, I mean, hey, if Donald Trump has to like go to court and face the music, well, that could interrupt dramatically his ability to campaign against President Biden. Yes, they're right about that. As they say, Don, if you didn't want to do the time, you shouldn't have done the crime. All right? What do you think about this? 844-967-2789, taking your phone calls. 844-967-2789. What do you think about this move by Trump's lawyers here to try to delay these criminal proceedings until after the presidential election so by he could then potentially pardon himself? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. Simply go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. It takes less than a minute. It is free. Won't cost you a thing. That's what Gayle King over at CBS, she calls that a deal. Or at least she does about the CBS app. I'm not sure about the... Wouldn't it be great if we had Gayle King on the show, Mr. Zomers, and talked to her about the app?
That would, especially if we could convince her to say that it's a deal.
right.
But also, if we just got, you know, to say it's a deal about something else, and then we use that... No, I'm kidding. We would not do that.
Right, use it out of context. Back to this story from The Hill on Trump. The District Columbia Circuit Court of Appeals roundly rejected Trump's claim that a former president enjoys near total immunity from criminal prosecution unless they have first been impeached and convicted. So the Court of Appeals, the D.C. Court of Appeals, has already ruled on this. Said, no, Don, you don't get total immunity. All right? Here's a quote from that appeal. Quote, for the purpose of this criminal case, former President Trump has become Citizen Trump and all the defenses and any other criminal defendant, with all the defenses of any other criminal defendant, unquote. That's from the panel of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, which issued this 57-page decision. Quote, we cannot accept that the office of the presidency places its former occupants above the law for all time thereafter. Careful evaluation of these concerns leads us to conclude that there is no functional jurisdiction or justification for immunizing former presidents from federal prosecution in general or from immunizing former President Trump for the specific charges in the indictment, unquote. What they're basically saying there, the D.C. Court of Appeals, again, is that just because you served as president doesn't mean you're above the law. For just because you served four years, one term, it doesn't mean that you have immunity for all time. The unanimous decision from the three-judge panel reflected the skepticism the judges expressed during the hearing, where Trump's attorneys agreed that presidential immunity would cover actions such as ordering an assassination of a political rival. Remember that? When these attorneys argued that, you know, look, I mean, if a president ordered assassination, they're immune. I mean, this is a little crazy, more than a little crazy. What do you think? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Your phone calls on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show, Hour 3 for a Fat Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Summer after high school when we first met, we make out in your Mustang to Radiohead, and on my 18th birthday, we got matching tattoos.
Welcome back to the Todd Lobel Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 2 o'clock, hour 3 of the big show. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday, February 13th. Mr. Zomer is dialing up some Katy Perry there. Yes. Katy Perry news later on this hour. Stay tuned for that.
That was the one that got away. To give you a little preview of what that news might be.
Yes, they're very good. 844-967-2789, talking about this attempt by former President Trump to urge the Supreme Court to delay his January 6th case while he awaits an appeal on the immunity decision. Lower court has already said he doesn't have immunity, the former president, or any president. Trump saying that, look, while I'm waiting to find out whether I'm immune or not, I shouldn't have to continue to go to trial, criminal trial, over January 6th. What say you? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Go to the phone lines down to beautiful Rock County. Rico in Rock County, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hey, how you doing there, Todd?
Fine, thank you.
I'll tell you what, first off, I am no political advisor or a campaign strategist, okay? But if I was, and somebody, you know, if I was working for Donnie down there and he wanted to know how to win this election, I would say, Don, I got this for you, buddy. Listen, you take every bit of this to court, beat every one of them ding-dong charges, mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, Gab yourself can declare it innocent, and I will guarantee you, you will be the next president. I just don't understand. Why would you not do that? Right. Why wouldn't you do that? Is that the most, you know, that's the winning strategy, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you're absolutely right, Rico. I think you're selling yourself short. I think you're being a pretty good political strategist. I think the problem is that Trump and his people around him know that there's a pretty good chance out of 91 indictments, the chance of being innocent, found innocent of all of those, slim to perhaps almost none.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't have a plan B for you, though. I guess that's how good I am.
No, I think it's fantastic.
That's all I can do for you.
Rico, just to have you around the campaign with your fantastic, you know, infectious laugh and attitude, I'd welcome you on any campaign.
At least it'd be fun, right, Todd?
Absolutely.
I can get the fun part. The fun part, I'll be in charge of fun. I want to be the chief fun.
There you go. You're the chief fun strategist, Rico.
Chief executive in charge of having fun. See you later, Todd.
Happy Fat Tuesday. Thanks for calling in, Rocco. Really appreciate it. Right, Rico in Rock County. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Also, text us off the text line, off the Civic Media app. Angie checks in from Monroe, listening on WMDX Madison, says, quote, I bet there's a few House and Senate Republicans who would not mind that pardon either. I also do have a question. How close has America not paid their bills because of the House Republicans, and is NATO's bill one of those bills? Unquote. A lot to unpack there, Angie. First of all, I think you're right. Well, I think I know, because we know there were members of Congress who asked Trump for pardons on his way out. And he refused to give them, for the most part. Just a handful of people got them. We'll touch on Ukraine just a little bit later in terms of that and NATO bills. Again, I think Trevi Olson in hour one, who has worked in Eastern Europe, who understands this, who was on John McCain's staff, who understands this better than anyone else, made the point, and we read from the NATO charter a couple of days, or yesterday, that there are no dues All right, they're to be a member of the NATO alliance. You're a member of an alliance. It's not like, hey, if you pay this much money, you could be a NATO member too. It's not like that. You're a member of an alliance, and there are suggestions of what you should spend on defense. And as Trigvi pointed out, all of the countries bordering Russia have done so, except for Turkey. But the United States, best of my knowledge, has been one of the leading members in making sure that their apportionment, I guess you would call it that, is paid. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Mr. Zomer, should we go up a little bit there and see? We have a texter there.
This is the full text. It's the same as this one down here.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good. So if Trump, this is from one of our listeners here off the text line, says, quote, if Trump would be found guilty and no immunity, like Presidents Clinton, Obama, Bush, Biden could all be put on trial. Trump was not guilty of anything. Is that what he's saying?
Yes, they're saying Trump is not guilty of anything and that he's going to get total immunity because if he doesn't, past presidents could all be put on trial.
Oh, I see. Well, I mean, I believe that 91 indictments that former President Trump is in fact guilty of something there. But again, I'm not a member of the Supreme Court or a jury here, just an observer, a political observer who has worked for a law firm. And I guess that and $2.50 will get me a cup of coffee. But I, you know, you list these former presidents, Clinton, Obama, Bush, Biden, none of them are facing trial right now. So again, I think what the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is saying here and what the Supreme Court essentially has said to this point, we'll find out moving forward, that, look, you are not immune from the law just because you served as president of the United States. No one's above the law, right? If we say that someone's above the law, then we're reverting back to what we left over 200 years ago, which is a monarchy. Let's go back to this story from The Hill. The lower court, the D.C. Court of Appeals, said they also warned Trump's stance that the presidents must first be impeached would shield presidents from prosecution of crimes committed while leaving office or those that are discovered later on. The judges also took aim at a refrain that has been just as present in Trump's campaign speeches as it has in his court documents, that he is being unfairly targeted. Quote, as former President Trump acknowledges that this is the first time since the founding that a former president has been federally indicted, the judges wrote, weighing these factors, we conclude that the risk that former presidents will be unduly harassed by meritless federal criminal prosecution appears to be slight, unquote. So basically, what the judges wrote here, just to address the listener's point, that legal scholars, judges, have said that this claim that, well, if you come after me, that opens all these other former presidents up to meaningless prosecution, meritless prosecution. Judges said, nice try, Don, not the case. And this is interesting. People want to say, well, this is just a snow job by Democrats. Not so. Two of the judges who wrote the ruling were nominated by President Biden. However, the third was appointed by former President George H.W. Bush. So it's not all a bunch of Democrats. It is a bipartisan judicial panel. In court papers filed Monday yesterday at the Supreme Court, Trump said he would soon file his appeal of the D.C. Circuit Court's ruling. We shall see. More on the other side, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Glad to have you along on Hour 3 of the All Ball Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Tuesday, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny discuss the hottest topics in education news.
The Max Inc. Matinee Showcase is back Sunday, February 18th at the High Noon Saloon in Madison, featuring the German art students, The Apologist, and L. Donk. Doors open at noon, the show starts at 1, and you're home in time for supper. The Max Inc. Matinee Showcase. Advance tickets on sale now at high-noon.com. Presented by Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and Civic Media. Hometown Radio Refreshed.
The application period is officially open for the Agriculture Road Improvement Program. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. The state has designated $150 million towards improving Wisconsin's crumbling rural infrastructure. And while you may first think it's about improving roads because of big harvest equipment or spring planting equipment, in reality, it's the day-to-day wear of Wisconsin agribusiness that takes its toll. Rebecca Sweeney is the Senior Director of Programs and Policy at the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association.
It really boggles the mind, right? It's 88 million pounds of milk move over Wisconsin roadways every single day. And then on top of that, the finished product coming out of our plants adds to the loads, right? So we are putting effort into moving milk in and out of plants, and we are also putting some strain on those rural roads. So they need to be strengthened, they need improvement, and we're thrilled to see that possible due to this new Ag Roads Improvement Program.
Rebecca Sweeney with the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. Now, to be eligible for a grant under the program, a route or structure must have been posted for weight for at least 1 month in the previous year, be maintained by a local government, and provide access to agricultural lands or facilities. You can find the application process available on the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation website, also the Wisconsin Department of Transportation website. The first round of applications will close on April 1st.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The 35 Under 35 program is a great way to recognize young farmers and ag professionals for all the hard work that they do on sustainability. Through this program, I've really gotten to see a lot of different perspectives on how everybody defines sustainability differently. You're really going to have a great network of people to lean on in the future if you have any questions or any issues that may arise.
WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers,
a vision for agriculture,
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
And Wisconsin farmers giving you a chance to eat all of your veggies. Last year, according to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, Wisconsin farmers harvested more than 51,000 acres of snap beans, putting us in the number one spot in the nation. There's food news for you on a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun today and high temperatures a touch cooler, climbing to the upper 30s. We'll stay stuck under mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, but you'll love the warmth for Valentine's Day as highs climb to near 50. If you have late night plans, though, keep in mind that a wintry mix pushes in at night. Right now, it's 38.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You think I'm pretty without any makeup on. You think I'm funny.
Welcome back to the Tahlaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Fat Tuesday, February 13th, 2024. Mrs. Amers of the board keeps alluding to it. We're going to talk about it in the last segment. Katy Perry with some major news this afternoon. We'll tell you about it.
Yeah, you know, I got to play a couple Katy Perry tunes because last night my roommates and I were watching some of the past Super Bowl halftime shows, hers is a good one.
Yeah.
And given that she's also in the news.
She's in the news. It also brings up Peacock, which we'll talk about later in the show as well.
We'll get there.
Later in the show. Glad to have you along. The phone lines are open, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. On a Fat Tuesday, have the beads on here. Our director of operations, Aaron Carreno, stopped by. He got some beads. No, I did not make him lift up his shirt. He said it was not impressive, by the way, but I think he's selling himself short. But Carreno, we gave some people are stopping by. We're celebrating. We have some punch keys here, a little bakery on this Fat Tuesday as well. Pulaski has this great bakery where you can get the punch keys up there on Fat Tuesday. Speaking of Pulaski, I want to move on to this. And Pulaski, by the way, a great town. I've been there. I've shopped there. I've gone to the bakery. I have nothing but love for the city of Pulaski. But here now, and this is a story that we've talked about before on this program, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline, Pulaski man sentenced to over 3 years in prison for involvement in the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. A Pulaski man was sentenced February 6th to over 3 years in federal prison for participating in the January 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Riley Casper, 25, pleaded guilty in September to assaulting law enforcement officers with a dangerous weapon. U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth sentenced Casper to 37 months in federal prison, followed by 2 years of supervised release. Judge Lamberth also ordered Casper to pay $2,000 in restitution. According to a criminal complaint, on January 18th, 2021, the FBI received a tip about Casper's involvement in the riot with links to his Facebook, where he posted images of a crowd with the caption, quote, Trump's rally, Washington, D.C., exclamation point, unquote. Investigators identified Casper in videos of the riot posted on YouTube, one of which was showed him spraying an orange substance that appeared to be pepper spray into the air. Investigators matched the YouTube videos with officers' body camera footage to determine Casper sprayed the spray about 1:50 in the afternoon on the day of the attack. It turns out, though, it wasn't just pepper spray. It was bear spray. Much stronger than what someone might carry in their purse or on their keychain to spray a would-be attacker. This is meant for bears, black bears and grizzly bears that might attack you in the woods. Back to the article, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, records of Casper's financial transactions also showed he purchased fuel between Wisconsin and Washington, D.C. between January 6th and January 7th of 2021. Casper sent a series of private messages through Facebook about his involvement in the January 6th Capitol riot. In one, he stated, quote, I pepper sprayed three cops so bad they got undressed and went home. Unquote. In another, he said, quote, fought cops all day, unquote. He also described the riot as, quote, like the most real version of paintball ever, unquote, according to the complaint. We talked about this on previous shows, but I want to keep reminding voters of this state that there were people right here in Wisconsin that went and participated in the insurrection of January 6th, one of whom, current Republican congressman from the 3rd Congressional District, Derek Van Orten, who posted pictures on his own Facebook page at the insurrection of himself and others, bragging about it. And the reason I keep bringing this up is Derek Van Orten loves to talk about backing the blue, our cops, our law enforcement officers. And again, I'll say on this program that as someone who has relatives that serve in law enforcement and who are fantastic at it, I have a deep respect for law enforcement. As someone who sat on a city council as the head or the chairperson of the public safety committee, which oversaw the police and fire departments of our town, I got along great with our local law enforcement officers. I'm a supporter of law enforcement while still recognizing in some cases, like any other vocation, there are bad actors, there are bad apples, and they should be called out. But Derek Van Orten goes to Iowa before the Iowa caucuses, endorses Donald Trump, who wants to pardon people like this guy from Pulaski, Riley Casper, who in his own deposition under oath says this is true, that he bragged about pepper bear spraying cops, in his words, three cops so badly they got undressed and went home. Fought cops all day, unquote. This is who Donald Trump wants to pardon. He calls them hostages and heroes. And Derek Van Orten condones this. And yet he has the audacity to run around buying gas, supposedly a Quick Trip. I heard he gets his coffee at Sitco. But he tries to be all Wisconsinite, you know, a good old boy from Wisconsin. Don't buy it. This guy supports insurrectionists. He was at the insurrection on January 6th. And Derek Van Orten wants to pardon criminals who attacked law enforcement officers, some of whom from right here in Wisconsin. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Go out to beautiful Spring Green in southwest Wisconsin. Mike listening in Spring Green. Thanks for listening, Mike. What say you?
Just what you're talking about, one thing I have not heard anywhere or anytime since then is, has anyone considered the fact that a whole lot of other countries, those people would have just been mowed down with machine guns? I mean, you know, these people are lucky if they're getting away with 3 years, you know?
Right,
and
right.
Why didn't the guards react more strongly? Why is that? I'm not saying they should have mowed them all down. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, then they could stop and think. You know, try that in some Eastern European country. You wouldn't be here to take that 3-year sentence.
I think it's a great point, Mike, and I appreciate the call. I think it's a great point, and you know, I wasn't there obviously, and don't know all the thinking. From what I understand, from watching much of the January 6th bipartisan commission hearing and reading a lot on it, that number one, these were fellow Americans, right? I mean, the thought that fellow Americans would charge the Capitol and become the villains was so beyond consideration at the time that they were taken aback. And to think that we're going to open fire and mow down our fellow U.S. citizens was just not in the thinking of the Capitol Police. Also, there still seems to be question on who was in control, who was the commanding officer of that situation, and what orders were given. Mike's absolutely right that in another country, they would have been mowed down. But from trying to defer and say, well, wait a minute, let's just try to be rational here and not go overboard, to also the fact that due to Trump not giving the orders to the National Guard of Washington, D.C., there was no communication. And so our men and women in uniform said, we're going to, due to their great training, said, we're going to rely on our training and say, look, until we've been ordered to open fire, basically, the standing order is trying to avoid that, right? If you talk to law enforcement, they're very well trained on trying to find every option possible beyond lethal force to deal with situations. Lethal force, properly trained law enforcement officers will tell you that is the option of last resort. And unless ordered by their commanding officer, they're not going to do it unless they absolutely have to. So, Mike, great point. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Also, you can text us on the Civic Media app. Back to the story on this Riley guy, pardon me, Riley Casper from Pulaski. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Casper's sentence is at the lower end of the federal sentencing guidelines for his crimes, according to court records. Casper's attorney, Christopher Nathan, requested a similar sentence, citing that Casper was only 22 at the time of the attack. He was not part of any extremist group, and he was not one of the rioters who entered the Capitol building. A part of the sentence, according to the judge, is that the judge recommended Casper participate in a drug abuse program. According to the United States Department of Justice, in the over 3 years since January 6, 2021, more than 1,300 people from nearly all 50 states have been charged with crimes related to the attack on the U.S. Capitol. 1,300 people who, according to the bipartisan January 6th Congressional Committee, were spurred on and led by former President Trump to attempt an insurrection to stop the peaceful transition of power. They built gallows on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol and literally chanted in the halls of the Capitol, "Hang Mike Pence." Trump's own vice president was so scared for his own safety and that of his family that he refused to go with his Secret Service detail to a different location out of fear over where they might take him. And so he hunkered down in the bowels of the U.S. Capitol, awaiting for it to pass. And also, to Pence's credit, whether you agree with his policies or not, and I don't, most of them, maybe all of them, but he said he was going to finish the job. He was fearful that if he left the Capitol, that the Secret Service under the command of Trump would not bring him back to the Capitol in order to finish the certification of the 2020 election, therefore the peaceful process, the transfer of power. That was, if you look at the January 6th commission, that was largely the Trump strategy, was to create such chaos that it would delay the official approval of the Electoral College vote long enough that Trump-controlled U.S. Supreme Court would intercede and overturn the election and give it to Trump. They were trying to get it to the U.S. Supreme Court before the election was certified. That was the whole plan, led by Trump, according to the bipartisan Congressional January 6th Committee. And due to the heroes who were and are the U.S. Capitol Police and other law enforcement, due to their heroism and due to the commitment, at least in one case, by Pence and those around him to finish the job, we did have a peaceful, well, that wasn't peaceful, but a transfer of power. And the person who won the election, Joseph R. Biden, was certified and went on to serve. That's how close American democracy came to dying on January 6, 2021. And it was guys like this dude, Riley Casper from Wisconsin, who almost undid the American experiment. And it's guys like this that Donald Trump says are heroes and are hostages and wants to release, pardon. And Derek Van Orten, the congressman from Western Wisconsin, says, yeah, I'll go along with that. If you're a local sheriff, a local courthouse official in Western Wisconsin, be careful who you endorse in this election. Might not go so well for you at the ballot box come November. 844-967-2789. Back with more on the other side. It's hour three of the All Ball Show for Fat Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it?
I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, Hour 3. It is now 10 before the hour of 3 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from network news time, a check of weather that I believe Pete Swaba, one of his best of shows, it's not late night. Give me the name of the show.
Nightlight.
Thank you. I've been reading a lot of late night articles, Jon Stewart coming back. So I have a lot of late night shows in my head. And by the way, I did it again, I think last night. Been trying to watch this new show that comes on after Colbert. And it's like after midnight. It's like a game show and kind of a talk show, but it doesn't really, it's not good. I don't mean to be mad or beating up on people. I'm sure they're trying. I'm sure they're lovely people, but it's just, there's no point to the show. You understand?
Is it one of those shows that you watch it and you think, wow, this is a writer's strike show. Goodbye. Tell they just didn't have people.
I think that it's perhaps a attempt to save money, but you kind of get what you pay for. That's my take on it.
And Andrew in Maine says it is After Midnight with Taylor Tomlinson.
That's it. Do you like it, Andrew? Because I don't see the point to it. I just think it's goofy.
I've never heard of it.
Well, there you go. That's probably part of it. He never heard of it. Checking the text line, Mary from Mount Horeb checks in on WMDX, says, let's see here, Derek Van Orden tangent. I called all our U.S. representatives yesterday to implore them to support funding for Ukraine, and Derek was the only number that went straight to voicemail. There you go.
Interesting. You know, that reminds me of when he was not present.
Yes.
In the court, and there was just the sound of silence. It was just Van Orden.
Right.
Van Orden?
Because he went off on his little junket over to Israel on his own.
On his own secret mission that nobody else knew about.
Secret agent, man. Something like that. Anyway, 844-967-2789. End the show on a lighter note today. First of all, you got to hand it to these people because I follow the... Oh, geez. Here, hang on a second. It just it changed over here. See, why does Twitter do this now? I had a story all lined up here I was going to talk about, and then it... anyway, it was a Taylor Swift story, and it said Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce announced ... And of course, it made you click on it, and you clicked on it, and it said they're taking a trip to Europe. there's no engagement plans.
So ultimately, whatever.
Yeah, but it got me to click on it, right? That's the point. Also, big news for another singer, Katy Perry. Mistress Amherst has been playing her music all day. Katy Perry announces that she's leaving American Idol. Katy Perry, according to Billboard magazine, is ready to close the door on American Idol and open another chapter in her music career. Idol will premiere on ABC this Sunday, that's February 18th, marking the TV talent show's 22nd overall season. It'll be Perry's 7th and final season as a judge. Perry broke the news when she stopped by Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. Quote, I love the show so much, she tells the host, but I want to go see the world and maybe bring some new music, unquote. The Fireworks singer, as one of her big hits, has been a judge alongside Lionel Richie and Luke Bryan since it was revived by ABC back in 2018. So there you go. Katy Perry moving on from American Idol. Well, she doesn't need that anymore. I mean, she's an artist in her own right with all of her music, right?
Yeah, good for her that she's taken some time to do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but you can still see Katy Perry for one more season of American Idol. I don't mind the reboot, by the way. I haven't watched like the entire parts of all the seasons, but since it would move from Fox to ABC, they do a pretty good job. And of course, she's still got Seacrest, right?
Yeah, I think I have seen maybe a combined two episodes worth of American Idol.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the original,
including
one on
the original. Yeah.
I watched almost every episode.
I know a
several
lot of people
seasons
did.
On Fox with when you had Simon Cowell.
Yep.
And Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul. I mean, it was.
I know it was a good show, and I know there's a lot of talented stuff on there. It just, I don't know. I wasn't watching a lot of TV, really.
I think it was one of the new iterations since it's been on ABC. They actually came to Milwaukee and were at the big museum with the fan and everything, right in Lake Michigan. Beautiful, beautiful promotion for Milwaukee. So, but Katy Perry moving on. What we hope moves on tonight are losses for our Wisconsin Badgers. The Badgers on a 4-game losing streak. A lot of people are getting salty about the Badgers and Greg Gard. You know, just chill out. I mean, they're down to like number 20 from number 6 down to number 20 in the AP poll. Their last game looked atrocious. I will absolutely admit that. But I think tonight they're going to get back on track. The Ohio State University. That's what they go by, you know.
Stupid.
I know. They can't just be Ohio State University. They have to go by the Ohio State University is going to be in town. They are in town tonight to play the Wisconsin Badgers tonight at tip-off 8 p.m. And the reason that you need to listen to it on the Civic Media app is because the only way you can watch it on television is where, Mr. Summers?
I want to see you peacock. You peacock. You peacock. You peacock. I want to see you peacock.
That's right. That's right. It's another goofy you telecast peacock. On you the peacock. Peacock. And you have people saying, what's the peacock? Peacock is the new streaming service of NBC. So that's right. Even if you have cable, you're not going to be able to watch the game tonight because it's on the streaming service called Peacock. And that was Katy Perry singing Peacock.
One of the worst songs of all time.
I've actually kind of grown to enjoy it.
Well, I mean, because we play it so much, you hear it all the time.
It's kind of, it's kind of a bit now. So
I love terrible things. That's no secret. A lot of my favorite movies are some of the worst movies of all time.
So anyway, if you have the Peacock tonight, and I have friends that signed up for the Peacock just because of Badger Sports. Wow. I don't blame them a bit. I probably should have done it myself, but I have not.
That might be why my roommate signed up for it. I don't know. I'm not complaining. All I know is that whenever there's a Wisconsin game on, it's on the TV, and I didn't have to pay for it.
Well, even better, it is free. You can listen to it on the Civic Media app tonight. Let me tell you, if you're in one of these towns, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, Amory, Racine, Kenosha, you can listen to it on our stations over the air. If you're not, just get yourself the Civic Media app for free. Not going to cost you a cent. And then you scroll down to WRCE, News from the Center of Richland Center. Click on that. You can listen to Matt LePay and the entire team, Badger Sports Network, right here on Civic Media's app. Tip-off time, Wisconsin takes on The Ohio State tonight at 8 p.m. Also, by the way, tonight, not on the app, but over the air at Oshkosh and Park Falls, you can hear the Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Miami Heat, 6:30 tip-off tonight for those games. Thank you to Luke Mathers for Tuesday Tangents. Luke, Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project, and of course, Mr. Zomer is doing a great job on the board. And all of you for listening on Fat Tuesday, be safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.